mentioned, item one is a text amendment to the Downtown Winnipeg Zoning Bylaw number 100/2004 with regards to digital sign regulations and complete communities downtown zoning bylaw alignment under file DAZ 200/2014.
Thank you, Mr. Cripp. The City of Winnipeg is the applicant here. I'll call up Mr. Barry Thorgerson.
Thank you.
Curtis, if you don't mind. Thank you, Mr. Thorgerson, and Mr. Chair and committee members. As you are well aware, you've seen this in the past. We have a bit of an omnibus zoning bylaw update for our downtown zoning bylaw, and we were instructed to prepare this bylaw to make sure that the our zoning bylaw is better aligned with complete communities and our Winnipeg. And we have a suite of proposed changes to the zoning bylaw that we think do match the spirit intent of our Winnipeg and complete communities, as well as represents some best practices across North America with respect to zoning bylaw. Our zoning bylaw also includes provisions for signage regulation, and as part of this update, we've also included a series of sign regulations included in this zoning bylaw. And finally, we've also included some a bit of housekeeping, some errors and omissions to this bylaw. Curtis, senior planner Curtis Kowalki, has done a tremendous job, a lot of work on this bylaw update. And if you have any specific questions for Curtis or for the public service, we'd be happy to address those for you, or to give a further overview, Curtis would be more than happy to do that. It's at your leisure, Mr. Chair.
Okay, sure. By all means, and this committee has seen some of this material. We were before this committee back in July 2013, and we brought forward at that time a list of recommended changes, 15 in fact, and the direction at that time from this committee, which was endorsed by council, was to proceed to prepare that as a bylaw, and so we've been working with the Zoning and Permits Branch and our legal services department to ensure that it was prepared in a manner that could be adopted as a bylaw and brought forward for a public hearing today. Just quickly, I'll run through those 15 items. We're allowing residential development in more areas without the conditional use process. We're eliminating yard setback requirements for residential conversions, which includes historical buildings. We're increasing the maximum size allowed for restaurants in the character sector. We're requiring some discretionary approval for drinking establishment patios over 1,000 square feet in the character sector. We're introducing minimum building heights for downtown development. We're reducing some maximum building heights in the south of Broadway area, west of Donald Street. We are clarifying the expectations around the creation of vacant land by demolition, establishing new design standards for parking, which include landscaping, lighting, fencing, and universal accessibility. We're establishing new limits to sizes and locations for new parking areas, specifically surface parking. We're updating our sign definitions, including provisions for third-party sponsored content. We're setting performance standards for digital signs and clarifying where they'll be permitted. We're requiring oversight of window signs and window wraps and stickers that exceed 50% of the coverage of windows. We're prohibiting new freestanding pylon signs, except for small ground-oriented signs. We're increasing the sign allowance for construction signs, limited to duration of construction projects, and we're correcting a series of errors and omissions that were discovered in the zoning bylaw as we undertook this process. Other than that, this is exactly what this committee saw 9 months ago, so there really shouldn't be any surprises here.
Okay, thank you very much, Curtis. Any questions of the committee at this point? Councillor Brody? No? Okay. We'll ask you to stand down for the time being, and we'll hear from some of the registered delegates here. Yeah. Is there anyone else whose name has not been called who wishes to speak in support of the application? Okay, I'll move on to those that are registered in opposition. First up, I have Mr. Jeff Pynchon. And Mr. Chuck Chappell, you're coming up together. Okay. Just at the end there.
Yeah.
Morning. Please state your names and address just for the record, please.
C.L. Chappell, 30th floor, 360 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Jeff Pynchon, Unit 4, 999 King Edward Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We appear in opposition to the proposed text amendments, and our opposition relates only to the sign component, the advertising sign component. I have given a brief, Mr. Chairman, that I'd ask be filed as an exhibit in the proceedings. I think everybody has a copy of it. I'll try and be brief. We, being Mr. Pynchon on my left, Mr. Scott Baird, the director of planning and signage for Western Canada, and Mr. Scott Hoskins from the Winnipeg office also appear. Mr. Chairman, we have spent considerable time, effort, and working with the planning department in developing guidelines for the advertising sign industries, which were adopted by City Council finally under bylaw 200. I'm sorry, bylaw 100, 200, being the area outside of the downtown sector. Those guidelines have worked, from our perspective, quite well in terms of assessing the requirements and having a field that we can operate in outside of downtown Winnipeg. We're proposing certain changes to Bylaw 100. One, that advertising signs should be defined terms as are contained in Bylaw 200. Two, advertising signs, whether postal or digital, should adopt all of the standards in terms of location, size, and height as are contained in Bylaw 200, together with the separation distance and recognition with parklands, historical buildings, and residential buildings should be adopted. Three, our clients believe that the advertising sign industry and the regulations under which this industry operates should provide a regulatory environment whereby each advertising sign may only be permitted if a conditional use order is obtained by this committee or from this committee. So that we're asking that whatever advertising sign there may be, it's this committee that's going to determine it. And that determination is going to be made on the basis of whether you're satisfied that the criteria, as required under the Act, the Charter, are met. The present regime prohibits advertising signs. This is opposed by the industry and our clients. Our clients support the prohibition of advertising signs in the downtown living and riverbank sectors. We shouldn't have advertising signs in those sectors. We agree with that. That doesn't make any sense. Our clients also support a regulation on advertising signs in the historical and heritage properties and believe that a suitable separation distance should be imposed from those properties, so that you shouldn't impact negatively, if I can use that term, on any historic properties. In terms of the operational standards, whatever exists under 200, that means brightness and dimness and the other operational standards, we agree with. Those work fine, and they're modern in their design. Our clients seek the right to have either advertising signs, whether digital or postal, located in the downtown jurisdiction, with the exception of the residential. The rationale to permit other types of digital signs, including event signs with a third-party advertising component, is discriminatory. Why are you going and saying event signs, you can have advertising, but you can't have an advertising sign? That is discrimination, I respectfully suggest. In our industry in Winnipeg, 80% of the advertising is local. So we're not detracting from our businesses here. Lastly, the bylaw prohibits rooftop mounts and freestanding mounts. A regulatory framework should be permissive in nature and, where deemed appropriate, permit both roof-mounted and freestanding ground-mounted signs. You determine in that regulatory environment what you want. This committee determines that. It's not a prohibition. The Winnipeg Public Service Report we've had an opportunity, and we're just going to comment very briefly because I don't want to get into a fight with the director and the chief planner and my friend Curtis Kowalki, so I'll be nice and kind in what I say. We don't seek to install or construct large digital signs facing any residential window within a reasonable separation distance from the sign. You know, this gentleman who put up a bright sign on the Boyd building going right into the people's homes, I mean, that's ridiculous. We don't support that kind of nonsense. Two, we support the concept of shed, whereby some type of digital sign media strategy will be developed. The only trouble is we don't know what that strategy is, and we don't know what crazy ideas Mr. McGowan will be coming up with to submit to everyone. So we don't know what we're dealing with, but we do support the concept.
Be crazy.
Funnel haters. Concentration of signs. Obviously, the downtown is the center or hub of the city of Winnipeg. Signs should be permitted, including advertising signs. We support the principle that all businesses should achieve visibility with their signage and location. To permit advertising signs does not compete with the local business signage. And that's very important. We believe in that. The Winnipeg Public Service Report states that advertising billboards also promote urban businesses and attractions that compete with downtown. The Complete Communities Direction Strategy reinforces the role of downtown. Advertising signage is part of the downtown and ought to remain a part of the downtown. This signage promotes Winnipeg businesses. The Portage Avenue Lighting Master Plan. This plan is not yet being developed, but our industry and our clients, they would like to be part of that process. We think that that's important. The provision for third-party advertising and sponsorship for downtown arts and entertainment by digital signage only for these events is very discriminatory. Our industry should be regulated but not prohibited. Our clients are disappointed that the Winnipeg Public Service Report, and we believe that a mistake has been made in that report where there's no addressing of the new technology available in this industry. And the industry is changing immensely. And quite frankly, we think that forward thinking would involve some of these changes, whether they're banded screens or curtain screens, as they're calling, whether they're specialty advertising signage. It's going throughout North America now. To prohibit this type of industry downtown is not creating a level playing field. And we need to be concerned with the aesthetics. We need to be concerned with what we're doing downtown. We quite agree with that. Mr. Chairman, there are significant billboard signs, roof-mounted billboard signs downtown that are not aesthetically pleasing, even to my liberal standards. And, you know, there's some trade-off that can be achieved in terms of what goes on with those signs. Maybe it's time, as Mr. Smith, the planner, suggested, you want a digital sign? Well, you have to take down some roof-mounted signs to get that sign. That's progress. That's what we would like to see. Some trade-offs. And I'd also like to comment, if I could, Mr. Chairman, on what have we got downtown now? Right now, we have significant digital signage for the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. That's a downtown sign, I believe. The Centennial Concert Hall, a downtown sign. The Aboriginal TV Network, a downtown sign. The MTS Center. The Winnipeg Convention Center. The CanWest sign. And to go and prohibit our clients from putting up like signage, again, is discriminatory. We should be regulated. You should decide what you want. This committee should decide what you want. But just to go and permit these other entities to go ahead doesn't seem fair to us. I guess the last comment I would make is there are financial implications from permitting, if you decide to permit or regulate signs downtown. And quite frankly, they're significant. Just to give you an example, Mr. Chairman, five faces of a large digital sign produce $100,000 per year in revenue to the city. Five. That's under the advertising sign tax bylaw. In addition, you end up with realty taxes because the rental payment is then capitalized to a value, and you charge realty taxes to the owner of the property. So for the report to say that there are no financial implications to the city, with the greatest respect, I think is incorrect. If you prohibit it, yes, there's no financial implication. But if you permit it in a controlled environment, there is financial implication. And the very last point, Mr. Chairman, is there's no distinction made between downtown Edmonton, downtown Calgary, downtown Regina, downtown Saskatoon, in terms of their bylaws. They're all the same. They're controlled. They're regulated. You need to get a conditional use. Nobody is giving up anything in terms of a right. It's controlled, regulated. And we're the only ones that prohibit. Now, I'd ask Mr. Baird, who's the senior officer sitting in the back row, did I misstate the situation in terms of the bylaws in the two jurisdictions?
Order. Sorry, if you're going to speak, you have to come up, sir, and your name will be called if you're registered.
Perhaps Mr. Baird could be permitted to speak to the matter, Mr. Chairman, as part of our presentation.
Yeah, okay, he's registered here. You're at 10707-178th Street, Edmonton?
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you. My name is Scott Baird. I'm the leasing director for the Prairie Region. To kind of follow up on Mr. Chappell's comments, there are the bylaws, there are, especially in Calgary, I believe that there's a separate downtown bylaw. However, what's happened in Calgary is they've adopted the same rules for signage. So, and that's been the case in a couple of other cities. Edmonton has applied all of the same rules with the exception of a carved out area of downtown Edmonton that prohibits signs because it's close to the river and whatnot. So the comments are correct. The advertising signs are permitted in the same way downtown as they are in the rest of those cities.
Thank you. Question, Councillor Browati.
Thank you. When we started this exercise about coming up with modernized rules for electronic message centers and digital billboards, and whether it's third party or on-site messaging, our intent was to make it more permissive in the downtown core. Based on both the rules as presented and based on actual practice, are these more permissive than outside the downtown?
No, they kill us. It's not permissive at all. It's a total prohibition. That's what it is.
You've answered, but I was wanting to ask. another part of wanting to go through a set of new rules was to hopefully give the industry some certainty as to like where these types of signs would be allowed and where they would not be allowed, and perhaps even reduce the number of conditional use hearings involved. Do you see that ever happening? And if that's not the case anywhere else, should we, you know, continue on with the process where each and every one of them is a conditional use hearing? You know, maybe one rooftop sign is offensive and the next one isn't? I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, there are certain criteria we're now following that were developed with the department, and we're working with them, and we call it 7 criteria. And if you don't meet those criteria, they permit us to go ahead and make an application, but we're trying to work within those criteria always. And that's one concern. The second concern is you don't want a multiplicity of all these signs. If you have too many signs, you lose the focus of the whole purpose of the advertising. So you're limited as to what you can do. Thirdly, we don't want to tie down the whole civic government with all these applications. And when I say civic government, I'm talking council members. So as long as we know what the direction is, we'll work things out with the department. And we've been quite successful in doing that. We have some disagreements, yes, but we work with the department, and that's what we intend to do in downtown in particular, because we don't want to blow a good thing. If you grant us approval, we'll come before you, but we don't want you to be mad at us.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mays?
Two brief questions, I guess. Number one is, your letter starts off with client in the singular and then becomes clients in the plural. Just one client here? It's a little unclear.
That's my poor draftsmanship, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I only have one client.
Okay.
Soon I'll have two.
Second question is, it's a little unclear. Are you asking us to vote down the bylaw in its entirety? Because I just got this morning, so it's, you're saying you're only take issue with certain
just
portions
the sign,
of
just
it.
Just the sign portion. That's all I'm here to speak to.
So there's no, it's not sort of amend A, B, and C
singing
out
no.
from this. Okay, but you would like the signage portion voted
yes.
down. Thank you.
What we permitted in bylaw 200, I'd like to see permitted in bylaw 100, and that's this committee making a decision if you want to have a sign or not.
Okay. Any other questions of the delegation? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members.
Next up is John Hoshin. Morning. State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is John Hoshin, and I live at 1047 Jesse Avenue. I've seen many of you before, and I've sat in this very chair several times, and I'm here to just review my take on the digital signs. On the report for us, if we could flip to page 8 where it refers to digital signs. On number 11, it says, building on best practice research and the work already completed for zoning bylaw 200-206, the following amendments are being proposed. And they propose continuing to allow digital signs, static or motion copy. Motion copy is why I'm here. What I've given you, the councillors, to review is the first one, which speaks about Category 12. This is with referral to the outside of downtown bylaw that recently passed. And I'm questioning the best practice research. If you flip to the second page of that short one, you see there are some bullet points with regard to the research, and refers to a couple of different studies. And I've also provided the actual study. If you look at the third bullet point, it says drivers make twice as many and longer glances at video signs. And that's from the University of Toronto report. If you flip to the third page of the report, I've highlighted it on everybody's report, and it's simply wrong. It simply says, it must be noted that particular signs and placements in this study, glances at static signs, meaning non-motion copy, were made at even larger angles and more frequently at shorter headways than those at video signs. Furthermore, the longest glance recorded was for a static sign. So how can this study, if you look even further into it, it studies streets at Yonge and Bloor, Bay and College, Spadina and Dundas. I'm sure everyone knows these are downtown Toronto streets. And this report was used at a standing policy committee at PP&D to say that these electronic signs were considered a distraction or they might be considered dangerous. If this study refers to downtown Toronto and the best practice research is suggesting that digital motion copy is allowed downtown Winnipeg, how is that fair? If you go to the back of the University of Toronto report, second last page, or the conclusions, this is not included in the report from the planners, but the conclusion, which I've also highlighted, on the basis of the five studies reported here and the amalgamation with the results of an earlier study of eye movements for a video sign on the Gardiner Expressway, it cannot be concluded at this time that video advertising signs are either safe or unsafe. So you can't have it both ways. Either all of Winnipeg is static or not static. You can't cross an imaginary border. I don't know where the downtown border is. Let's say it's Memorial. You drive down Memorial, you got downtown signs with motion copy. You cross the street, all of a sudden they're dangerous. It's simply not fair. How can it be good for downtown and not safe outside of downtown? And this has to go back. So it's either one or the other. It has to be the same. At the Standing Policy Committee meeting, Councillor Brawati, I asked you, if you recall, and you said, well, people drive slower downtown. But that's not scientific. But the speed limits are the same. And there are more people, there are more pedestrians downtown. There are more pedestrians, there's more opportunities for a potential hazard. But regardless of that, this study is from downtown Toronto. So based on what the planners are saying, if it's not safe in downtown Toronto, how could it possibly be safe in downtown Winnipeg? How is that possible? And if you look even further into the complete communities, one of the strategies in direction four, one of the directions for urban design is to strengthen vibrancy and animation. Where do the planners expect the animation to come from? There's contradictions all over the place. Like I said, it can't. If it's good for downtown, then it has to be good for the rest of Winnipeg. And the way around that is if you look back at the report with regard to the shed district on page 6, it says, as shed evolves in the coming years, there may be a need to vary the zoning bylaw to support a particular project, or additional zoning bylaw text amendments may be brought forward. So either you bring a bylaw text amendment to 200/206, or no one gets motion copy. And then you have to call the MTS Center and the Gold Eyes and the Concert Hall and the Convention Center and say, you have to turn your signs, no more motion graphics. And that's not modern, that's not progressive, we want vibrancy. I also have to question, where is the best practice research as it concerns funnelators? This thing's 30 feet from a traffic light. It's spewing fireworks and clouds and balloons, and it couldn't be more distracting. And there's restrictions on traffic signals, and this thing is right at the corner, and there's more of them coming. And are these safe? Are they distracting? And I just have to question it. And so it's either one or the other. It's either all of Winnipeg is static or not. And that's my point, and that's all I really have to say today, because I really think that it has to be revisited with bylaw 200-206.
We have some questions. Councillor Gerbasi?
I'm just trying to clarify what your position is. So are you saying that you want all digital signs to only be static and not to have moving copy?
No, I don't. But this report is suggesting that you continue to allow motion copy downtown.
But not in the other places. No, I understand that, but I'm just trying to understand what you're actually asking us to do here. Are you saying...
I'm telling you that I'm opposed to this report, but what I would like to see happen is a review of policy 200-2006 outside of downtown.
You'd like to see motion move and copy everywhere.
Precisely.
Okay, got it. I just wanted to understand what your position was. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the delegation? Mr. Hosham, thank you.
Thanks.
Scott Hossfield?
Hi, I'm just here.
Okay. Thank you. Susan... Oh, sorry, is it? Oh, that's right. Okay. Is there anyone else whose name has not been called who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Okay, we'll move on to those for information. Susan Melgi? You wish to speak?
No.
No? Okay. Anyone else whose name I haven't called wish to speak for information? Okay, we'll call the applicant back up.
Are you trying to distance yourself?
So it's all about digital signs this morning.
Okay. Sure, absolutely, and that's fine. So back in 2012, about the time that the bylaw came to the board for the zoning bylaw 200 outside the downtown, this committee and the other standing committee asked that more consultation be done on the downtown strategy in particular. And we undertook that consultation. We had meetings with the biz, we had meetings with downtown residents, we had meetings with the downtown council, quite extensive consultation. We had a public open house. So we met with a lot of stakeholders. Essentially all of them, except the sign industry, were quite adamant that they didn't see a lot of value for the downtown in allowing billboard advertising to pop up all over our downtown. Chuck made a few really good points, and I just want to elaborate on those in the same sequence. He talked about a distinction between our downtown living sector and our other downtown sectors in the zoning bylaw. One of the points I made earlier is that as part of our omnibus zoning bylaw alignment, we want to encourage and allow residential in more areas throughout our downtown, not just relegated to that downtown living sector. So in fact, the distinction between downtown living sector and our other downtown sectors is much more ambiguous now, because we really want to encourage residential in a lot of locations. So to say that, well, they won't put up a sign across from residential doesn't take into account that 5 years from now a residential project might want to pop up there. And we don't want to have so many signs that we're discouraging or creating an environment that's not conducive to residential development. We've talked a bit about SHED and the importance of doing something unique as SHED evolves in the coming years. And SHED will be a multi-year project as buildings come up. New strategies will be adopted to make SHED exciting and unique. If we allow digital signs and advertising signs and flashing signs throughout our downtown, SHED fails to be something unique. SHED is just the same, one and the same with the rest of our downtown, in fact, with the rest of our city. Mr. Chappell talked a fair bit about the zoning bylaw changes outside our downtown. Since that time, the city has endorsed, the public service has endorsed, and the city has approved dozens of new billboard advertising signs. That process made it much easier and much more supportable to support advertising signs. And in fact, research has shown that we've got far more advertising billboards in the city of Winnipeg than cities far larger than us. In our minds, there's some trade-off here in terms of being more permissive outside our downtown, especially in our residential and our commercial zones, and less permissive in our downtown zone, which is very residential-focused and very downtown and entertainment-centric. there was talk about the fact that their signs are local. And I'm sure most of their advertisers are from Winnipeg, but the point that we were trying to make in the report was, does having those signs really contribute to our downtown vibrancy and our downtown economic development? I've seen Patterson signs around the city, and they often advertise for Pool Park or for other businesses that are outside the downtown. In what way do they contribute specifically to economic development in our downtown? A point was made that allowing sponsored content on event signs was discriminatory. In the past, that hasn't worked as well as we had hoped. The concept is that, for example, a symphony orchestra is sponsored by Mercedes-Benz, and their sign says, WSO brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Our intent was always to not come down with a hammer and say, you can't say that because that's third party. Our intent was always to enable that and encourage that. Those are sponsors of our downtown arts and entertainment and a huge contributor to our vibrant entertainment scene in the downtown. We've rewritten our definitions in our zoning bylaw so that that kind of a statement or that recognition would be permitted and would be easier to do than it is now. It's not the intent to continue to do what we've done in the past, where some of these signs turn into full-time commercial reels showing commercials that don't even relate to the events going on. The Portage Avenue Lighting Master Plan was mentioned. That was an initiative that was undertaken, I think, in 2009 and brought to this committee at that time. That's being led by the Downtown Biz, and it's already well underway. A pilot project was undertaken on the Biz's own headquarters, a beautiful architectural lighting strategy, which we expect and hope to see more of as that program evolves. And the reason we mentioned that in the report is because architectural lighting is, of course, something very subtle and very beautiful, and a very bright sign, either facing it or on it, it tends to detract from what that strategy is trying to achieve. There was some comments about whether this strategy was intended to be, or whether the building bylaw amendments were intended to be more encouraging or more permissive of signage generally. 2 points on that. We note that outside the downtown, there's a 100-foot separation between traffic signals and digital signs as a requirement of the zoning bylaw. In the downtown, traffic signals and traffic lights are very, very close together. If we were to implement that same strategy, we wouldn't have any digital signs in the downtown. We have allowed motion copy signs in the downtown in the past, and there's quite a number of them that already exist. A valid question was raised, should it be consistent with outside the downtown? Should they not be static copy? Again, we're kind of weighing our options and thought that traffic was slower and there was already so many existing, and we wanted to be a little more permissive in the downtown, and that was one way that we could set this downtown apart as being unique and different and exciting. If the committee disagrees with that, we're not opposed to being consistent and taking motion out and leaving it as static. I certainly leave that for your consideration. I think that covers the points that were raised by the delegations.
Mr. Chairman, I also would like to comment on what Mr. Chappell has suggested, that conditional use be the mechanism or the vehicle to advance applications. As you know, in the downtown zoning bylaw, variance and conditional use is an administrative decision subject to a posting, and only an appeal would be coming before this committee. So I don't believe that is the appropriate tool to be in as an appeal hearing for these signs. So I think that if this committee is desiring to somehow not support the department in this proposal, I think we would need some significant time to look at what would be the proper process that one would go through to get to this committee.
Any questions of our admin? Councilor Gervasi?
Well, you've actually answered most of the questions I had here. I had meant to ask, I don't know if is it too late in the process to ask anything else about the, I don't think any of the delegations were concerned about any of the other aspects we're dealing with today. So
I don't want to.
I don't think it'll create an unfairness or anything. But I just wanted a bit of clarification about one of the things you're talking about in terms of the demolition of buildings, aligning with the demolition bylaw that we have outside the downtown. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit, just to confirm what the process is? Because I know that changed a bit over the last few years, and it's been an issue outside the downtown for sure, and I just wanted to make sure I understood what this means.
Sure. Currently, as you know, demolitions are subject to urban design review. And what that means is effectively an applicant's expected to prepare a landscape plan to submit, indicating what the project will look like after the demolition is complete. But by the same token, it's always been a discretionary review. In other words, through the urban design review process, a demolition could be rejected. It's rarely been exercised, but the intent was where there might be pressures or where the actual intent may be, in fact, to create a gravel parking lot, for example. The administration has always been very cautious and hasn't necessarily had the clarity as to what the right approach would be in that case. So what we've done and what we're proposing to do through these amendments is to actually cite some criteria, and you'll see those listed in here. I'm just going to flip to that page, and I can read those out even. Oh, there we go, thanks. That if demolition may be approved, provided the vacant lot will be compatible with the area and will not create pressures for surface parking, and if the demolition is approved, it must be done in accordance with the urban design review recommendations, and improvements must be made immediately following the urban design approval. So with that, again, kind of just reiterating what I indicated, that if there seems to be some indication that the demolition will be deleterious to the area or create a negative impression to the area, urban design review and the zoning bylaw could suggest that that be held off. And this provides just a little bit of clarity over the process that we've previously used.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, Councillor Bastian, do you want to take the chair?
Yes, sir.
I'll move, Madam Chair, that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye. I'll move receipt of public representation to be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.